First, take a look at today's headlines.
The SNL will participate in a roundtable TV program to report on measures to prevent COVID-19 in Cuba.
Langless women march in Brazil against racism, male chauvinism.
Cuban and Beninese foreign ministers meet in Havana.
Some 101 countries have reported COVID-19 cases.
You're tuning in to Radio Havana, Cuba, and we are presenting today's national and international news stories.
President Miguel Díaz-Canel Bermúdez, Prime Minister Manuel Marrero Cruz, and Minister of Public Health Dr. José Ángel Portal Miranda will appear on Monday on the evening news program The Round Table to report on the measures taken by the country to address the threat posed by the rapid and widespread international expansion of COVID-19. Radio Havana, Cuba, The Round Table's YouTube channel, and the presidency's Facebook pages will broadcast the program live starting at 6 p.m. local time. Last week, the Council of Ministers held a special session on the epidemic and decided to update the national plan to prevent and address the coronavirus if it appears on the island. President Díaz-Canel headed three regional meetings with governmental authorities and Communist Party leader from the western, central, and eastern provinces to evaluate the measures adopted.
More than 3,500 women who are participating in the first national meeting of landless women in Brazil marched in Brasilia on Sunday against racism, machism, violence, and all forms of oppression against the working class. We defend the advances of the rights won by the working class that have been taken away. We will fight against violence and fund cuts made by the Bolsonaro government of social programs, which weaken and put at risk the lives of the poorest, the call for the demonstration reads. It points out that we will talk together against all forms of violence, for the right to diversity, autonomy, freedom. The rally left the Parque da Cidade for the Palacio de Buriti, government headquarters in the Federal District, and then went to the National Foundation for the Arts, Funarte, next to the television tower in Brasilia. In addition to the Federal District, the landless women mobilized in all states of the country with marches and debates.
The Minister of Foreign Affairs and Cooperation of Benin, Aurelien Agbenonci, begins this Monday his official visit in Cuba. The guest will hold talks with Cuban Foreign Minister Bruno Rodriguez. Cuba and Benin established diplomatic relations in 1974. Authorities from both countries explored last week ways to strengthen educational exchanges during a meeting in the African nation between the Beninese Minister of Secondary, Technical and Professional Education, Bognon Gakpo, and Cuban Ambassador Yenielis Requeiferos.
World Health Organization spokesperson Fadela Shaib reported on Sunday that 101 countries and regions have confirmed cases of the COVID-19 coronavirus. Shaib explained that of the total of 105,427 confirmed patients worldwide, 3,583 died. However, the international body stated that the experiences of China and other countries show that the spread of the virus can be slowed down and its impact reduced during several strategies, including the identification of those who are sick, ensuring that patients receive medical care, monitoring contacts, preparing hospitals and clinics to deal with an increase in the number of those infected, and training health workers. All of these measures at least slow the spread of the virus and buy time for researchers to identify effective treatments and develop vaccines, WHO said.
As of this weekend, Cuba implemented the daylight saving time, turning forward 1 hour. This is an international practice that that has a significant impact on energy saving.
The United States has blocked adoption of a United Nations Security Council statement supporting a ceasefire agreement between Russia and Turkey in Syria's northwestern province of Idlib, even though the agreement has led to a much-needed de-escalation in the province. Diplomats cited by AFP said the United States stonewalled the measure presented by Russia's UN ambassador Vasily Nebenzia to the other 14 member states, with Washington calling it premature. Washington's position was supported by Britain and Germany. There are a lot of questions about how it will work in practice, who will monitor it, remarked British Ambassador Karen Pierce, while her German counterpart Christoph Husjen said, "We have to see if this will work." Russian President Vladimir Putin and Turkish President Recep Tayyip Erdogan had announced the truce that took force in Idlib at midnight Thursday, after 3 hours of face-to-face talks in Moscow earlier in the day. The deal was clinched amid a pressing need for pacification in Idlib, where Turkish violations had brought about an unwarranted flare-up of already high levels of deadly violence. The escalation came when Turkish forces that are assigned the task of staffing a number of observation posts in Syria to supposedly contribute the de-escalation efforts ventured outside the areas assigned to the post, engaging with the Syrian military. The province, however, began experiencing calm after the truce that allowed the Syrian government to secure two strategic routes, reports by AFP and the so-called Syrian Observatory for Human Rights, a UK-based monitor showed. Meanwhile, Putin told Syrian President Bashar al-Assad in a phone call that the truce would stabilize the situation in Idlib, the Kremlin said. Bashar al-Assad considered the talks between Russia and Turkey to have been very useful, and he expressed his gratitude to the Russian president for supporting the fight against terrorist groups, the Kremlin statement said. Idlib contains the largest remaining concentrations of militants and Takfiri terrorists in Syria, who have fled there from the concerted anti-terrorist drive by Syria and its allies, Russia and Iran. Russia lends aerial support to the Syrian army's operation, while Iran provides it with military advisors.
In Israel, opposition groups are uniting in a bid to end Benjamin Netanyahu's long-running career as prime minister. After Israel's third election in less than a year failed to produce a clear winner. With officials still counting the last of the votes from Monday's election, Netanyahu's coalition remains three seats shy of the majority needed to form a government. In a televised address earlier this week, Netanyahu accused his main opponent, Benny Gantz, of linking up with terror supporters. After Gantz's blue and white alliance partnered with the coalition of Arab majority parties, Gantz could soon become prime minister after Israel's former defense minister Avigdor Lieberman said his far-right ultra-nationalist party would join Gantz's coalition. Gantz is a former Israeli general whose campaign ads have boasted about Palestinian body counts and bombing Gaza back to the Stone Ages. Both Gantz and Netanyahu support Israeli settlements on occupied Palestinian land, which are illegal under international law.
And those were some of the stories we were following for you here on Radio Havana, Cuba. Once again, our headlines.
Díaz-Canel will participate in a roundtable TV program to report on measures to prevent COVID-19 in Cuba.
Lungless women march in Brazil against racism, male chauvinism.
Cuban and Beninese foreign ministers meet in Havana.
Some 101 countries have reported COVID-19 cases.